Heads, and welcome to The League, exploring the League of Legends lore from A to Z. My name is Rebecca.
And I'm John.
My name is Mark.
Sorry, that was my phone. And today we're talking about the exemplar of Demacia, Jarvan IV, who was released March 1st, 2011.
2011?
Fun fact about Jarvan, he was the first champion released after I started playing League.
No shit. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was right after Benson introduced me to the game.
Yeah. He fucked you. Fucked you up right then and there.
Ruined and the rest of your life. And then my life went downhill. Every day worse than the last one.
Damn. It's that dark.
It's been a rough world for NA in a year. Let's just say that.
And it's all League of Legends' fault. So Jarvan surprisingly has very little linked on the universe page. There's a bio and a short story. I guess it is like the beginning of a short story, kind of. And then that's it. John did send us another story to read, so we'll talk about that. And then I think he has a, I'll say, butt ton of AUs. That's, is that accurate?
That's probably.
Oh, really?
That's probably accurate.
I'm just guessing based on his skins.
It's got a bunch, but I feel like he also has a bunch of old lore.
I can't wait
there.
Yeah.
I read through all that old lore, so if you did want to offload any of that, I can handle some of it. I read through all the JOJ articles and at least that mention him.
He's in almost all of them.
I skimmed things that didn't explicitly mention him, but I remember a lot. I was paying attention to the lore a lot at that time too. I knew all about the Crystal Scar and like why it existed and all that bullshit. But
well, I'm excited to get to the old lore, but I guess first we'll talk about who Jarvan is today in the world of League of Legends. Although we did,
he's more likable.
Yeah, yeah, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah,
he's okay, but
yeah. Do we want to do the?
I can't tell who's. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, do we want to do the impressions before we?
Hell yeah!
Oh, we do. Fuck me! I forgot.
I always put two quotes here because you always forget, so I save one for you.
Well, that's
you can
nice.
Just choose one and assume what he says.
For the king! That's all the one I know. Does he say
not,
that?
It's not what he... Not I know. Even one of the ones
he
I
doesn't say
down.
For the
I did
king.
All this preparation for
but
you.
I don't know how to say one of those. I don't even know what he sounds like. Does he just sound like a man? Like a
he does.
Man king?
He's
man?
Like, for my father, like the king.
Does Garen say for the king? I fucked that up. They're the same
they
person in my head,
do,
basically.
Yeah.
They both have equally large pauldrons in different ways.
Yeah.
Ew. All right, somebody else do an impression.
By my will, this will be finished. Or whatever it is
okay,
he says.
Okay.
Sunder any army, crumble any mountain, leap the great... Ow, 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 my toesies.
What? That's actually delightful. What is that from?
That's just his joke.
His joke, yeah.
Okay, well now I'm looking up his jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Sunder any army, crumble any mountain... Leap the ground! Oh, my toesies.
Aw, I almost kind of like him.
Yeah, almost.
He's fine. He just has, like, generic war man quotes, is what it sounds like to me. But
yeah. Well, he's, you know, he's 2011, and he's not gotten anything new, so he's got a very limited VO,
yeah,
unfortunately.
That's true. And I think they really, like, I'm going to guess his old lore is also really tied to Garen. Garen came out way before him, right? He was original, right?
Oh, yeah, they brought it up.
Yeah, they were always real close.
Yeah, so I'm assuming they, like, always, I don't know, kind of created him in line with Garen.
Yeah.
Who's also not thrilling.
Charm was, like, a more boring Garen, in my opinion.
Yeah. He kind of is.
You know that's a fucking problem.
I was thinking at first that Jarvan was more interesting, and then I went through everything, and I really, like, stewed in it, and I was like, no, he's not. He's really not.
Imagine Garen, but if he had the privilege of, you know, being... I guess not
a
nobility, because Garen, but yeah, like being a prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take all the challenge out of Garen's life, and you've got Jarvan.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, we'll see it as we go through this crap, but I think that he suffers from the same problem as Garen, in that he doesn't star in his own stories, right?
Yeah.
He's got, we should do the bio, because the bio is really long. That's the other thing that really stuck out to me.
Yes. Because they really have to delve into a bunch of shit that I feel like we already knew, but that's okay. So Jarvan's father, Jarvan III, married his wife for political reasons mainly and died during childbirth. And Jarvan III swore to never marry again and put all the pressure of the throne on his young child. So Jarvan was raised with like a lot of protection, but also like a lot of pressure on like, hey, you're the only heir to the throne.
Don't fuck this up.
Don't fuck it up. Don't die. Yes. They also mentioned that this is where he became friends with Garen. They were close in age around this time. Even though Jarvan's the only heir to the throne, he's still named general and sent out to war for some reason. You'd think he'd be a little bit more protected, but that's okay. He was pretty determined to crush Noxus and was doing a pretty good job until he went against the lieutenant's wishes to fight in the Noxian territory. They did bad. They didn't do so good. They did not do great. Jarvan and some soldiers fled into the forest, but Jarvan was wounded and collapsed, where he would have died if he wasn't found by Shyvana, the most interesting thing about Jarvan. So she carried him back to Demacia, but was also fighting her own battle with some elemental dragon, Eva?
That sounds good.
Eva.
Yeah, looks good.
Her mommy.
Checks out.
Oh, that's her mom?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They don't say that in the bio. It comes up in her bio.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wanting to repay the debt he owes Shyvana, Jarvan, with the help of some Demacian soldiers, helps Shyvana defeat Eva. It's Y-V-V-A. The extra V is fucking me up.
The way that you're saying it every time, though, just sounds like Wally.
I know.
Eva.
So they return to Demacia with some mixed feelings about Shyvana's presence. We never really know what happened to her after this. We know she wasn't there when, like, the Mage Seekers... Or not the Mage Seekers,
The Harrow.
The Mage Rebellion.
Yeah. But that's,
Mage Rebellion, that's right.
So that's kind of what happens next. They describe that the Mage Seeker Order has been imprisoning all the mages in Demacia until they rightfully rebelled, broke free, and Jarvan III is killed here. Jarvan IV is not technically the king now. He's, like, putting that shit on hold, I guess. There is no king, sure.
I think they're, like, elected.
Yeah, I think the council didn't think he was ready.
Oh, okay. But he is like still taking advice from the council, including Garen's aunt, High Marshal Tiana Crownguard, which I think is very interesting that they mention her and this specifically by name at the very end. Which we kind of had some sus feelings about her in Garen's lore, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, she's, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm less sus about her.
Really?
I'm having trouble figuring out what she's up to.
I mean, she's like,
yeah.
She's kind of a dick, but like, She's fighting pretty hard against the Mage Seekers, at least.
Okay.
In as much as a noble family can, given that her husband is the head of the Mage Seekers.
She's got a stink about her, right? It's weird. We should talk about it after we do the aftermath story too, because she shows up kind of at the end there. And I guess something also to point out is that growing up, Jarvan was like trained and raised also by Xin Zhao.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like they have a relationship there.
Yeah,
and he's
but
got interactions
find out through
with
some
her.
Of those stories too that Tiana was the old Garen, basically. She had Garen's position back in the day.
I knew that. I thought she also kind of had the original sort of like main bodyguard type position that, because there's a lot of tension between her and Xin Zhao, I'll just say now, right?
Yeah.
From that aftermath story, which we'll talk about, I guess. sorry. It's the only interesting thing about Jarvan. Sorry, is like that and Shyvana.
I read the other Xin Zhao story, actually, because the aftermath got me on a Xin Zhao kick that I was interested in, and I definitely understand the tension between him and Tiana now.
Okay.
Yes, that's actually what I was thinking of. I forgot I went and read it, too. I liked that story. It was good. Yeah.
We're not getting to him for a while, so.
But Jarvan's in that story, so, you know.
Barely, as a little baby. Anyway.
Still counts.
So this is a long-ass bio, right? This thing's like... over 1,000 words, which is pretty long. It's like 13 Heimers, man.
It's a lot of Heimers.
But at the same time, it feels like it meanders, and like why it tells us about his dad's like political marriage doesn't really make sense to me. It doesn't seem to inform the character. We get told all these things that I think the biggest thing is that we are told about all these things that have happened to Jarvan that would be really formative, and they're not shown anywhere else. Like there's nothing written about the battle with Eva at Rinwall, as far as I can tell, right? It's just here and like Shyvana's bio. And it's like, that's a novella right there. Right?
Yeah, I remember, so I was reading like the beginning of the bio, and I thought it was really interesting the way his dad said he was never going to have any more children, because I thought like, wow, what an interesting way to morph a character, to have like so much pressure on him and like so much protection. I was imagining him like surrounded by guards constantly to make sure that he's always 100% okay. But it ended up not changing him at all or forming him at all, at least in no way that I could really see, because it is very little personality.
I think that's
unless it formed him in exactly like the opposite way.
Reckless, yeah, which it could have been, but at the same time he does seem to care about Demacia, so like,
and his father seems to like not really care that he's
a reckless soldier.
Yeah, because he's certainly depicted as like, okay, so like to your point about him being named a general, I think it's the bio kind of says, oh, it's honorary, and he wasn't expected to go out, and so we can see in his actions he's kind of like, no, I'm gonna. You know, he wants to prove himself, right? I think, but like you said, there's all these things that we can make guesses as to how he is as a character based on his actions, but we never really get anything that goes into his head and lets us start to really know where he's at with all this crap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? That's the same Garen problem. Is like,
yeah,
there's nothing going on up there.
At least Garen had a story where we literally got into his head for a little bit. Like that was the little saving grace. With Jarvan, we don't have that. I feel like. I don't know.
What good story is complete without a good old killing the mother during childbirth?
Yeah. I guess they don't have healers there, you know, because they don't believe in magic. So
he had a really big head, a little alien head. I don't know. God. I think
he came out like with his helm on.
Oh my god, my vagina! Okay. Stop it!
I was gonna say, I know it's Halloween, but. But yeah, right, like, I think obviously they just want to make that relationship between him and his dad really, like, that's like a really central thing. But we saw that with, like, Cassiopeia, you can do that, and you know, you can still have other characters, and they can even, like, do more interesting things, right?
Yeah, I also didn't feel the relationship between him and his dad, really. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll say after all this lore that I read, I really just like his dad. I like J3 a lot more after reading all this stuff.
can this be about Jarvan the Third?
Might as well
way
be,
more
man.
Interesting.
I have so many random notes about side stories I read. It's like, man, I like Jarvan the Third way more after this.
Yeah.
I think all we knew about him coming into this was the Lux comic that we read for Garen, where, like, you know, I didn't really like him after that. It was kind of like, we very much got like the cool, too little too late, buddy,
the Azir bullshit. Yeah,
but I feel like in the other stories there's more there that I like about him now.
Mm-hmm. But for Jarvan, I guess the other thing I was gonna say is that I looked through his old lore, and looking at his, he had a previous version of this bio that described a lot more of what happened with him and Shyvana, and I kind of think it's a shame that some of that got lost, because I feel like it's supposed to be a really big relationship.
I was
going to
say the same thing
about
his old Shyvana lore.
Oh, really?
I accidentally read the old Shyvana lore when looking for information about this instead of the newest updated one, and I was like, oh, shit, this is cool as hell. Why isn't this in Jarvan's thing? And I was like, oh, shit, no, this has been an updated version, and I read the updated version, and I was like, oh, come on, they got rid of so much awesome shit. What?
That's super weird.
It's weird. It feels like they were like, well, the Mage Rebellion happened, and now we need to add that. So trim up a little bit of this other part. It's like, you're already over 1,000 words, man. Azir sits at 2,000. Fuck it. Just tack it on, dude.
Yeah. Interesting. A little bit of, I guess, world building in this one, too. I like the call out that when Jarvan II was slain by a Noxian in, like, Noxian skirmishes in Demacia, that's considered, like, a huge insult that he was slain by an Noxian. It was very, I guess, just an interesting comparison. I imagine that same death would have been considered like a huge honor in Noxus. Like, yeah.
Sure.
Slain by like a better competitor, like went out dying like a warrior.
Noxus is better than Demacia.
Sure. Yeah.
I guess that's it for the bio. The one short story that is linked on the universe page, I just had to relook up the title because I was looking at this and I'm like, this can't be the title, right? But the title is Ivory, Ebony, Jasper. Sure. Why? Why is this the title?
It's just a reference to the
things
that the pieces were made of.
I
on
know,
the board.
But
they
it's
were,
just...
It definitely... Yeah.
All right.
Do you want
so,
me to do it? Or, okay, if you got the notes.
Yeah, it's so short. Jarvan is in a place called Evenmore. Do we know where this is? What this is? I don't know where this place is.
It's somewhere on the map, I'm sure. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I figure it's on the map.
Demacia.
Yeah, somewhere in Demacia.
It's about to be hit with a swarm of Argoth. Do we know what these are?
So no, this was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like this is the first time that we've come across, like, a monster that is just known in the world. Like, oh, yeah, there are just these monsters that exist, and they swarm, and we know all about them. We've fought them before, and now they're just attacking this town. Like, it's a very, this is kind of like an MMO-type thing that we haven't really explored in the lore yet, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. I looked them up, and I think they're only mentioned in this story. I kind of, from what we hear about them, I feel like they should use them more. They seem to sit at like a nice little, like, they're a threat and they're something, they're a big problem. They can destroy a town, but they're not, you know, Viego coming to kill the whole world, like, type problem. Yeah. They're just like a nuisance or kind of a problem, right? And they could work really well. Like, think like maybe kind of like Voidlings, but it's more reasonable to have them popping up, and it's not like a world ending thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought that
just,
was
like,
a neat idea.
Murlocs or some shit.
Yeah, they seem very bug-like. Do they fly? Were we getting that?
Yeah, oh, I didn't get that.
I heard swarm, sure. So I was imagining, you know, like a flying insect.
Oh, I feel like when I hear swarm now, I think of Zerglings, so I assume they can't fly.
Could have been. They might not fly. Doesn't matter. So the queen should be in the middle. And I guess if like the queen dies, they'll just all go away like bees. They'll just all go. So Jarvan suggests that he and some soldiers wait in Evenmore, let the swarm come and attack the queen in the middle. And then the story ends.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So on this one, the plan, and it's not even, to your point, like, it's not even as simple as like you kill the queen and they'll disperse. It's just like the queen is issuing commands to the collective so they can organize really easily. And when you kill the queen, they'll be disoriented. But they won't. You still have to fight your way out of them. There's still a swarm of fucking people there, disorganized though they may be. Creatures. And yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like this story was supposed to set Jarvan up to be like a lead from in front type of leader, like, you know, if I'm not willing to get in there, then why will my people? Which, sure, admirable, but you're not like a Darius where if you die someone strong is just gonna take your place. Like,
yeah,
you're like the only heir to the king of a kingdom, which is very like there's a hierarchy here. Like, someone's not just going to rise to power in your absence. Like, it all kind of falls apart.
As it should.
Well, if he leaves, the council takes over, and they're very anti-mage, so you don't want that either.
I would like to see, have one of his lieutenants actually pose more of an objection. They kind of are like, oh, that's a suicide mission. It's a near-suicide mission. But he's like, I'm going to do it. And they say, okay. I get that there's a hierarchy, but to see someone really kind of buck against that and bring up more like valid points like you're kind of saying here, and just to see how he handles that, right, as a character.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see, and see him like fight against his need to lead by example.
Sure.
And see that clash up against his need to lead the kingdom when his dad dies.
I think one thing that would immediately make it more interesting is if Garen was there. And I think that's the first time in my life I ever thought Garen would make a situation more interesting.
That's the first time anyone's ever thought that.
Just because Garen, I guess he leads a different army than Jarvan. It's all very confusing.
He's like the elite guard.
Sure. Yes. But it could be reasonable that Jarvan is there with his own men. I shouldn't say men, people. And yeah, I don't think Garen would let him do that.
Yeah. To that point, it is weird. Like, what threat is a high enough level threat that the prince is gonna go out as the general to oversee it, but it isn't a high enough level threat that they're going to send the Dauntless Vanguard out. Like, what what exactly is the level that Jarvan would be leading the charge on?
I'm so confused. Sure, I don't understand.
I mean, I think the other issue is that this is a this story is very short. You guys can't emphasize it enough, right? It doesn't have the space, doesn't have the time to answer these questions, which I think it certainly could, and that can make it more interesting. I certainly agree. Throw Garen in the mix. You know, have that come up, and then have Jaren, that's their celebrity
that's
couple
their,
name.
That's their ship name.
Have Jarvan like fail, because I think what we'll see in these other stories is that Jarvan is on a downward trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. So have him come up against that responsibility and fail and still continue in a bad move, right? That's the other thing too, is like what happened in his bio is that he took he went against the advice of people and made a bad move, and you know, it was, you would think, like almost dying. It talks about him being near fatally wounded, and like everyone under his command, we assume, died or was captured. Like, that would maybe make you more risk averse, right? Or
like, what was the point of that happening if he wasn't, if he didn't learn anything?
Yeah, he didn't change from it. He even had a moment where he felt like bad, he felt awful that he had like failed Demacia in this way, and then he didn't change at all.
You know, I would say also he could, you could still have him, that could, imagine that like just makes him redouble his efforts to prove himself and whatever, right? Fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with someone accelerating into disaster. but I just need to understand where he's at mentally, because I have no idea. That's the biggest problem, I think, is I have no idea what Jarvan feels about any of this, right? Who knows? It makes me sad.
Yeah.
It makes me feel sad. Anyway.
All right. Now, the other part that Jarvan, or the other story that Jarvan is a part of, is Aftermath, which is mostly a Xin Zhao story, but, you know, Jarvan factors pretty heavily into
He's a massive part of the story.
And as the name would imply, this is directly in the aftermath of the Mage Rebellion, where Jarvan III was murdered.
Mm-hmm. I don't have notes on this one.
We
could probably go through it, though.
But I was going to say, the thing about it was, like you said, it's a Xin Zhao story more than anything. A lot of it's about him and his feeling failure, because he was supposed to guard J3 and he did not, and dealing with, and it's like immediately after, he's still like bloodied and bruised, and like she hasn't even bathed, he's still, this is so recent. Anyway, so he is going to go find Tiana Crown Guard, and we don't know why exactly, but he's not looking forward to it, but he ends up running into Jarvan, and Jarvan is kind of angrily practicing in their sort of practice gym with a training dummy, just going kind of wild, and Jarvan kind of forces Xin Zhao to start dueling him, and while they're doing this, you know, Jarvan's obviously going through a thing, right? His dad just died. and he is kind of demanding to know why was Xin Zhao not there when J3 was killed, and as this is going on in the story, we're seeing these interjections of interactions between Xin Zhao and Jarvan III, and we see that Jarvan III was pinning some letter that he then commanded Xin Zhao to leave and go deliver. Like, no matter what, you have to go deliver this, and you have to deliver it to the head of the Mage Seekers, talking about how this is something that he should have done a long time ago. He actually echoes his quote from the comic about how these enemies we are facing now are ones we've created. And essentially what we learn is that he had commanded the Mage, it was a command directly from him to order the Mage Seekers to stop all arrests, to put the complete kibosh on it, right? And recognizing that that needs to stop, right? But of course he died. Xin Zhao got distracted during the day of. And so in the aftermath, Xin Zhao is comforting Jarvan. He's kind of like an uncle to him. We kind of see that growing up, Jarvan just saw him as an uncle and refers to him directly as that. They get their composure. They have a little breakdown. And they both kind of, they hug and cry it out, literally. but then they kind of right? And at this point, Xin Zhao has told Jarvan what the deal is. That, I was meant to deliver this letter. Didn't tell him the contents of it, just this, I was meant to deliver this letter, and that's what happened. And as they're going to go meet the council, Jarvan asks for the letter, reads it, and then orders Xin Zhao to destroy it. And then the ending is pretty impactful, where Jarvan goes into the council. Xin Zhao is like contemplating what he's about to do in response to this order. And there's Jarvan. He's got Tiana on one side. He's got the Mage Seeker on the other. And they're all this kind of stone faced, like staring at him. And Xin Zhao throws the note in the fireplace and goes to take Jarvan's side. As they continue, they go on to do what needs to be done, whatever that might be. Does that hit it all?
Mm-hmm. And I think so. Another thing of note here was that I guess Xin Zhao had made a vow.
Oh, yes. I forgot about
once,
that.
If he failed Jarvan or whatever, or when Jarvan the Third died, he would also die. And that's why he was trying to find Tiana in the beginning. Because I guess he had made that vow with Tiana. And that's what made me a little sus about her.
Yeah.
About how she had either talked him into this vow, or I don't really know.
I think it was just something that he did when he kind of joined the guard.
Be a bit of a drama queen. Yeah. I swear I will.
And honestly, this is probably something that any of his guards may have had to a lesser extent, but they may have been less willing to actually take their life.
Yeah. That is true.
He was like down and ready. Yeah. Jarvan IV, though, did talk him out of it and be like, hey, actually, you swear yourself to Demacia, not just my father. So buck up.
Yeah. Which is so one of the J3 quotes here that I liked too, when he was trying to get Xin Zhao to deliver the letter, was like, you have to deliver this. And he was like, no, I've got to protect you. And he's like, your duty is to Demacia. He's like, you're the king. You are Demacia. He's like, no, Demacia is greater than any king. Like, you have to protect the kingdom.
Yeah. J3 comes off great in this, by the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you do get a lot of, like, the too little, too late, but it's kind of like the recognition, like, it's not like he was signing this under the misconception that, like, all right, this'll fix things. Like, he understood, like, God, I fucked up bad.
Yeah, and it was different than Azir in that way, because Azir never acknowledged, like, hey, maybe I should have freed my enslaved friend. Like, he never had that moment, but Jarvan the Third had this moment of, like, I should not have fucking done this. We really messed up.
We screwed it up on this one. And you also get a little bit more about what kind of went into it, too, like, the council having, like, so much power in the kingdom and kind of, like, always having his ear and, like, them having, like, the really good argument, because, you know, they did lose a lot to mages, which is why they probably had a lot of public support behind this in the first place. And, like, you can see how they could be swayed by, like, really convincing people to do this really shitty thing, but then, like, understanding at the end, like, oh no, this I screwed the pooch on this one, guys. Yeah.
It's very brief interactions, but they're written very, there's a lot of human, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, Xin Zhao is looking at him and he's just like, he just looks old and tired and just like and then kind of at the same time Xin Zhao kind of reflecting on himself and how he has, you know, aged through all of this. I don't know, it's just I thought it was pretty effective, and that twist in your gut when you can just see that turn coming for Jarvan, and he has him destroy that fucking letter, man. I thought it really was impactful. I really like, that's like the little spark of, like, ooh, Jarvan's kind of interesting. I want to see this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You saw something of a personality in this story for sure. Not a happy one, but still there. I am curious about Shyvana in this instance then, because J4 really had a moment where he was like, yeah, and the mages killed my father. Like, he seems very much anti-mage now, more than he ever was. So, is he, like, done with Shyvana?
You know,
like,
it's a really good question, because in his little bit in the Lux comics, which, you know, we don't need to get into too much, but it seems like, oh, he had a thing for her, right? But she's not around anymore. I don't know why. I looked through her lore. I didn't find anything that said, like, this is something that happened. Maybe that's to be written later. But, I don't know. It's a great question, because it seems like such, like, they went through a whole thing together, right? Like, they grew and grew closer, and, like, she saved his life. He, you know, they had to face this big thing. You would imagine she would be, it's like if Twisted Fate and Graves, like, just, were just missing, right? You know what I'm saying? If one of them just wasn't around for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Overall, I loved this story.
Yeah, it's really good.
If you're only going to read one Jarvan story, read the Jarvan story that's not the Jarvan
story. Is it on Xin Zhao's page?
Oh, yeah, it's on Xin Zhao's page, so yeah, you can get there.
Yeah, it's the best one. It's the only one you need.
Yeah, it's like, you get to see the aftermath of the mage revolt. You see, like, a downtrodden Xin Zhao who is just following orders but still feels personally responsible for Jarvan's death. You see, like, a grieving son struggling to know what to do with all this rage and sadness that's been pent up, and then finding wisdom enough to see the truth, you know, that this wasn't Xin Zhao's fault, but also still being impacted enough by it to undo all the progress that his father was about to make, and you get to see like a castle in turmoil coming together to try and move forward in the aftermath of tragedy. That's there's a lot here that was very good.
And then after this, canonically, I assume Jarvan went on vacation because the mist came.
Him and Garen had to...
And he wasn't even fucking there.
Okay, so look, I know we're not going to get into like the comics, but I do love... Jarvan like has a bunch of tragic shit happen off screen, right? I love that. So they're conspiring to get him married to Lux, and she leaves him standing at the altar. And I just love like this. I have this image in my head of him just standing there, like, okay.
On top of everything, now this.
It's fun. Oh no, it's really funny to me. Sad Jarvan.
I'd be so bummed if Lux left me at the altar.
But yeah.
But I'm honestly curious too, because like. The entire reason they were going to marry Lux off to Jarvan was that they knew it was inevitable that people were going to figure out about Lux. And they figured, well, if she's married to Jarvan, then no one can touch her. But I'm legitimately curious now, like, what would Jarvan do?
Yeah.
He seems pretty pissed off.
Yeah, based on the comics alone, I was kind of assuming that Jarvan was cooler than this. And they knew that Jarvan would be okay with Lux being a mage.
Yeah.
But after... that Xin Zhao story, not so much.
Well, in that story, Xin Zhao is taken aback. He is surprised because, you know, he's having this little back and forth, and Jarvan's like, well, they should be executed. And he's like, I don't think your dad would have thought that, right? I mean, obviously, he knows exactly why. But he's like, he even says, like, he had known him to be sympathetic to the mages beforehand, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, obviously, he's got someone who's been radicalized through traumatic events, which, you know, don't get me wrong, see it happen. But I would like to have Shyvana around to see, because I feel like if there was one person who could, you know, course correct him, it would be her, right?
Yeah, or the idea of Shyvana coming back in some way and him running into her again, that I think that would be a little conflicting for him.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Shyvana, so Jarvan obviously plays a part in her bio too, where I feel like honestly I learned more about Jarvan from Shyvana's bio than Jarvan's bio. Like, I guess I learned more about his history from Jarvan's bio, but I learned more about his personality from Shyvana's bio. But yeah, we just, in the version we have now, he's kind of like at that castle battle, he's like a general who's commanding a garrison of trained soldiers, and they all work together to defeat the attacking dragon Eva.
Eva.
In the previous version, the people at that castle, like, they weren't soldiers. It was just a town. And he had to kind of, like, rally the townsfolk and, like, teach them how to fight and, like, put together this strategy to, like, use petricite arrows to kind of cut down on the dragon's power. And then in the end, fucking Shyvana rips out her mother's heart with her bare hands in not dragon form.
Damn.
Which was metal as hell.
Yeah.
The fight in this version ends so anticlimactically. It's just like, oh yeah, they're fighting in the sky, and then like Shyvana breaks her mother's neck on like a garrison somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fucking lame
she's
as
victorious.
Hell.
Well, isn't it
weird?
Isn't it also that they have like a moment where Shyvana is like gonna leave? She did not set up there with the plans to fight her mother. She was going to run away, and her and Jarvan have an interaction, and he commits to fight with her, and that kind of steals her, like they you know, they have a moment, right?
Yeah.
They don't have a moment anymore.
Yeah, and he, you know, you're Demacian. We're always going to be together. And yeah, like, yeah, so it doesn't exist necessarily anymore. But
It's weird. It makes me, it makes me wonder if they decided they want to go with the kind of turn that we've seen in Jarvan, and Shyvana is just like too catastrophic to that. So they're trying to figure out what to do with it. And so it's just in limbo. But
I guess.
Who knows?
Now he also shows up in What Once Sailed Free, which is that other Xin Zhao story we were talking about, where Jarvan is just kind of a child, and this kind of takes place in the battle where Xin Zhao was part of a Noxian army that was attacking a Demacian area, and they were routed basically, and instead of killing the remaining enemies, Jarvan III had them all rounded up and brought them into his tent and basically freed them. He's like, hey, you're all free men. You don't have to go back to Noxus. Here's enough money for like a week's travel. Like, go reinvent yourself, basically.
Yeah.
And Tiana at that point was actually the head of the Crown Guard. And so she was in the tent with Jarvan III, and Xin Zhao was like, man, this is a cool deal. I want to join this instead of Noxus. Like, this is, I mean, he wasn't technically part of, like, he wasn't in the Noxian army by choice. He was kind of kidnapped, joined the fighting pits, and then conscripted. But he's like, I want to be part of Demacia now. And Tiana wasn't having it. And Jarvan was like, well, I mean, how can you prove that you're ready for this? So he, like, knocked Tiana down to the ground, took out her guards, like, not, like, killed, but, like, disabled, and then, like, held a spear at Jarvan III's throat, and then, like, put the spear down and was like, you know. And Tiana took that personally.
She made him swear to kill himself if Jarvan III ever died.
Jarvan dug it, though, so he allowed him in, and Jarvan IV was there the whole time, kind of watching, and Jarvan III turned over to Jarvan IV and was like, God, there's too many Jarvans. Lil J. Lil J.
How about Jarvi?
Jarvi. basically, it was just like, see, Jarvi, this is, you know, Demacia is welcoming. Like, you need to give people a chance, which is a very formative moment, I think, probably.
And then it all
until it was undone.
Right.
Yeah. I will say also, Tiana she kind of has Xin Zhao jumped, and she kind of gets her bunch of Demacia and, like, other soldiers, and like, hey, if you ever fuck around, I'm going to fucking kill you. And then that's when he swears, like, yeah, you can kill me if he ever dies. You know what else I'll say also is that, like, Xin Zhao's, like, kind of the way he sees the Demacians and their behavior following that battle, like, is, like, the best ever description of why someone would be, like Demacia. I feel like through his eyes, Demacia makes, it's like, I get it. I can see why someone like him would love this. I feel like, I don't know, it's interesting to me.
Yeah, it was kind of like fighting for, because it was fighting for a purpose. That was like a big thing for him.
Yeah.
Like, we're not fighting for expansionism or for personal glory. Like, you're fighting for, like, to protect your brothers in arms, and you're fighting for honor.
Yeah.
I guess.
And even in the aftermath, he's like surprised that they didn't just kill him. Like, they're asking him questions and just like feeding him, and he's just like, wow. Like, they all came together. Look, and they're helping each other. It's like, holy shit, I get it. I don't know. I kind of liked it. It's funny to me that I want to get inside Jarvan's head, but I've been inside Xin Zhao's head most of this fucking adventure, frankly.
Other places he's mentioned are the First Shield Novella. We don't learn a whole lot new here. We basically just learn that the council is now making all sorts of decisions all willy-nilly without Jarvan. The king would normally have to approve all the decisions they're making, but Jarvan the Fourth ain't king. And he's also he's basically just hunting Silas full-time now because he wants to bring him to justice, so he's not really around to say shit to the council, so they're just doing what they want. Tiana also mentions that the mage seekers are seeking more power within Demacia, and Jarvan in his current state seems very inclined to give it to them, especially since he's distracted with his hunt, which is part of the reason why Garen wants to bring Silas to justice too, just to basically get his friend back. Like, hey man, come on back. Be cool.
Yeah, I would love to see a little interaction with them in this current state. I would like if they had that in that little novella maybe or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Garen's kind of, I don't know if he was swaying the other way on mages, but he certainly let them all go.
Yeah, I mean, he
because his sister was there.
I think he's certainly, you see that kind of the end of the Lux comic, that there is certainly a divergence in him and Jarvan, you know, and even just how they're drawn, right? Like, with Jarvan having his back to him, and it's just, you know, I'd like to see more of that relationship develop, I guess. I don't know.
Those are the only real ones that he's in, like, he's mentioned in the Despoiler of Havenfall, because, you know, young Jonath was on his way to warn King Jarvan of the harrowing when he was met his untimely demise. We also learn in Demacia Needs Heroes that Jarvan the Fourth is not what Quinn expected, and that is it.
All right, so let's move on to the most important part of Jarvan's lore, and it's the Journal of Justice.
Well, we've got some...
or his old lore.
We technically have some... Let's see. I want to see if I had any...
Real quick, the author for those pieces, by the way, Rayla High did the bio and the Ivory, Ebony, and Jasper, and Anthony Reynolds Linnae did Aftermath. I don't know about the Xin Zhao bio.
Thank you. I wrote them down and I forgot.
Well, we got into it, you know.
And just a touch... Yeah, we got very into it. So just a touch a bit on, you know, more canon Jarvan before we hop into the old stuff. We touched a bit on the Lux comics. Just to go over kind of Jarvan's role in this, other than the whole marriage off thing, at the Uprising, Jarvan does go out to meet Silas head on. Silas uses the magic stored in the Petrocyte, which is apparently Kaelin Morgana's magic, specifically the one that Silas used, but we'll get to that later, I guess. Silas wins, drags Jarvan to meet his father, where he plans on making some demands, but Jarvan III is already dead when he gets there. Silas is as confused as anyone, but drags Jarvan the Fourth out to the other mages to answer for being complicit in his father's crimes against mages. Jarvan tries the tried and true, nah, I get what it's like, my friend is a mage defense. It doesn't work, but he gets rescued and starts a much stricter campaign against the mages like a dick.
I'm loving this visual of Silas, like, grabbing J4 and being like, now I'm gonna drag you to hang with your dad. Shit. Shit, someone fucking killed him. Never mind, let's go this way.
That is pretty funny. You know what else I'll say? Speaking of Jarvan being lonely, early in like the first or second issue, him and Garen are sparring, and he's talking about like, oh, I hear you're looking to get married. And Jarvan's like, yeah, but I want to marry someone who, you know, loves me for me and not because I'm a prince. I just love this idea of this like lonely only Jarvan. He's like, huh, they only want to marry the prince.
It's very Cinderella.
She loves me for me.
That's what ran through my head when I was
because I'm next in line of succession.
Oh man.
Oh, poor Jarvan.
Yeah.
All right, old lore time.
Woo 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 woo.
Okay. Woo-woo. So his bio. Woo. He was super anti-Noxian. Led a bunch of campaigns against them, was captured by Swain, but was eventually rescued by Garen and the Dauntless Vanguard. Those close to him said it forever changed him, though, and he never looked at you anymore, just threw you to something only he could see.
Sorry, calm down.
Then he just randomly handpicked 12 soldiers and disappeared, hunting dangerous beasts and bandits as atonement, and then went south of the Great Barrier and disappeared for 2 years. Before randomly reappearing again to great fanfare, with only 2 of the 12 original soldiers surviving. And the final sentence of his original bio.
Oh, yes.
In a tone as cold and steady as steel, he swore to bring the enemies of Demacia to their knees.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really disappointed.
Nothing about it.
I read through this shit, and I was so mad that the one that I went through and read.
Yeah.
I got blue balled.
I feel like, yeah, I was just gonna say this is like edging. Like,
oh no, they ruined my loop.
I'm so. Can you put it in the sentence at the end for me anyway?
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
In a tone as cold and steady as steel, he swore to bring the enemies of Demacia to their knees by fighting on the fields of justice
in the League of
now
Legends.
Now spit on me.
Thank you, Daddy.
No, thank you. Thank you for fixing that. Thank you.
So you mentioned...
So now we know both Mark's and my fetishes real quick.
You mentioned you read through the Journal of Justice. Did you want to do the read? Because it's a lot of work to read through all that bullshit. Did you want to make it worth your time by doing the recap or...
Sure, you fill in where I fuck up. You use your tome keeper. You got to train me up. But yeah, so this is like a really long running storyline because I think a lot of it was done in prep for the release of Crystal Scar and Dominion. That was the big thing at the time. Oh my god, a new league map, a new league mode. It's fast. It's fun. It's Dominion. So the setup is that they discover some really powerful shit in a place called Kalmanda. Is that the name of it? Correct?
Yeah, Kalmanda.
Kalmanda, thank you. And they eventually discovered that there are two nexuses, nexi, and what we remember from other previous you know, are like other previous episodes, is that nexuses, nexi are like, they're like things, they exist in places and they are super magical, and they like even emit kind of like quasi radiation like type. So big to do.
Get your alcohol nice and potent.
Yes, Gragas, that's where it's from. Thank you.
You get 5 rads per second if you stand too close to it.
Drinking that toilet water. But so I think it's also that it was on the border between Noxus and Demacia. Is that correct? So there was a big dispute over who was going to have mining rights to Kalamanda. And it seemed like it was going to go in the way in Demacia's favor when a big scandal, a prisoner comes out. Like, there was some murder, and Swain kind of crashes the signing with, like, haha, we've got this Demacian prisoner. And he'll say that he was ordered by Prince Jarvan the Fourth to commit these murders and frame Noxus so that we wouldn't get our mining rights. It's very, like, it's very Star Wars prequels almost.
Yes.
I love just learning about all these politics. Thank you. More George,
like,
Lucas.
Yeah, it's like Barty Crouch Jr. And then everything goes nuts, right?
He's my favorite Star Wars character.
Think, yeah. Things are accelerating, and then like a series of massive events happen. Borom Darkwill, who was still the Noxian emperor back in the old day, is assassinated. What else happens? They find that like the prisoner who was testifying against Jarvan is killed. Like, there's all these assassinations. Okay, this is where it gets a little fuzzy. There's all these assassinations, and then eventually there is like open conflict. Remember, the Institute of War, League of Legends, open conflict is like the biggest thing you don't do between Demacian forces and Noxians, Jarvan and Swain actually fighting, and the Institute of War comes in and actually like stops everyone. They cast a big old bard ult on everybody. Everybody's in stasis. Now here's where we pause, because this is where things get fucking wild. All right, is it in the Journal of Justice they release an image? It's like, ooh, on the scene of the battle, here's Jarvan in a combat pose fighting against Swain, and in Swain's bird form armor, there's a reflection, and it's not Jarvan the Fourth, it's LeBlanc showing up in the reflection. Now, the eventual fallout of all of this is that... Sorry, go ahead. Ask questions.
No, I'm just... So Jarvan wasn't there the whole time? Jarvan's, like, hanging out somewhere else?
Yeah, Jarvan maybe actually goes missing immediately after this. Yeah, he goes missing immediately after this.
Yo, I can't fucking wait to get to LeBlanc. I'm so excited. She seems cool as shit.
She's fucking wild.
Dude.
She's like the linchpin of everything ever in League.
Right? It's like everything's LeBlanc's fault.
Honestly. So... He goes missing for a little bit. He shows back up, and when he does, he shows up with 2 prisoners in hand, but he's very, like, he's distant. He doesn't, like, Garen goes to, like, oh, hey, Jarvan, it's been a while. You've been fucking missing. What happened? And Jarvan's like, hey, back off. Stay back. This is, like, official crown business. Doesn't go to greet him or anything. And he eventually shows up with Katarina. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they present this massive conspiracy evidence. Think like Charlie Day in like Always Sunny with that
Carol.
None of these people exist. Which is actually what happens as a part of that conspiracy, by the way, is there's a bunch of people who don't exist. It's all been leveraged to create this conspiracy that involves Demacia and Noxus being brought into conflict, and it's all been orchestrated by bum bum bum, the Summoners, and the Institute of War. So there's massive fallout. It's like, this is like the end of the Journal of Justice, by the way. Like, that's the, like, yeah, right?
Yeah,
like, Summoners are getting arrested.
The Journal of Justice was being used to pass secret codes to the people who were...
So what was the point of the slut-shaming Janna episodes of the Journal of Justice?
You know, that was
them
saying that there's Demacian forces in the Argent Mountains, okay? It was a very complicated situation. Swain was like, look, man, it's fucking wild. I will say, if you're at all interested in that old lore, this is like the big thing they did, because they killed the Journal of Justice as a part of this. It's fucking wild, right? And I think the kind of common theory at the end of all of it was that Jarvan, as we knew him in the League, was like just LeBlanc at that point. He had been captured and replaced, and they were just leveraging his likeness to further their machinations. Does that sound all right to you, John?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Did I miss anything?
Yeah, no, that's pretty it. And then additionally, I mean, part of what helped this theory move forward is that after the League had casted this giant stasis over Kalamanda and like removed all the combatants one at a time, they were like, hey, I mean, we've got these 2 nexuses here. Let's just turn this into a new field of justice.
So, yeah.
When they had all that documentation that was like, the League's been manipulating this the whole time. Like, well, it's not a good look, League, that you just turn this into a new field.
Yeah. It's kind of wild, honestly. The thing also is, like, this spans maybe at least half the issues in the Journal of Justice, would you say? Like, the storyline is planted very early on, and every issue develops it.
And Swain, at every step of the way, is pointing fingers at Demacia every chance he gets. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of this, completely unrelated probably, Swain takes over Noxus.
Yeah, I guess that's the other thing, is Borm Darkhold is assassinated and Swain takes over like two issues later, right? It's nuts. And
he challenges Borm's nephew or son, was it?
Maybe. I don't remember the
details. To a duel, and basically just, I mean, he had like that move at the time where he would just like root you. He just like rooted him and then was like, Darius, come kill this guy.
So oh, man, that's actually kind of dope.
What?
That's kind of cool. I hope he does that in his current lore, because I actually kind of like that. Like, if he does that to some general or something, that's a pretty slick maneuver, frankly.
Yeah.
Man. Huh. Yeah. And then also, Jarvan's judgment's pretty fucking wild, too, because...
Oh, yeah! Holy shit.
I was going to say, so Jarvan's getting a judgment. He's going to go get a judgment, and as we're kind of ending the first little section of the judgment, we realize, like, oh, fuck. He's come for his judgment, blah, 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 and it's, like, starting to get really mean and, like, nasty about Jarvan. It's, like, it's like a paragraph of its insults, and we realize, like, oh, fuck. Swain's here. This is Swain who's giving him the quote-unquote judgment, and essentially tries to kill him. He tries to assassinate him as part of the judgment, right, and make it look like an accident. Like, oh, a novice summoner fucked up the judgment and killed the crown prince of Demacia.
Yeah, it was wild. And I haven't read all of them, I don't remember, but like, you know, all of them are kind of like, oh, you're brought to this. They like summon images from your memories to like make you think you're in all this danger and everything. But like, this one was legit. Just Swain broke into the Institute and straight up tried to murder Jarvan. And then like right when they're about to kill each other, basically, a high level summoner comes in and is like, hey, what the fuck? And just kind of like waves her wrist and like throws them away from each other and suspends them in the air like they're fucking children. God, summoners are so like OP in this.
A school teacher breaking up a fight. Like, hey.
Yeah, and basically tells them, like, hey, Swain, don't be a dick. Jarvan, you know.
Welcome to the League of Legends.
She basically says, Jarvan, you were obviously going to get in because of who your dad is. Like, this was never a question, but... this whole situation sucked, and neither of you are allowed to seek retribution for what happened here, or you fucked.
The fuck did Jarvan do?
It's a zero-tolerance school. All right, you fight back, you also get in trouble.
Also, a lot of nepotism in the League of Legends. Didn't realize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When we do get the parts that are through Jarvan's eyes, like, he's definitely, like, more of a dick in the old lore. Like, he's, like, definitely the stereotypical, like, I'm Prince and you're all below me.
My father will hear about this.
Yeah, honestly.
Interesting, honestly.
Kind of, right? It would be. I think Kiana's kind of like that, I feel like. So she might be kind of fun.
Ooh, nice.
She'll be fun because she's Ishtar. But the thing about this old lore...
Tiana's almost like that, too. all the Anas, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing about all this old lore that I find so interesting is like this was like a big, massive storyline. Maybe the biggest one, like we were saying. And what's wild to me is that it kind of shows the whole problem with the Institute of War, which is like the only way to tell an interesting big story is to like destroy the Institute of War. Like, like, how do you even fight something that can, you know, bardle to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You have to destroy the entire like institution. That's the only way to tell a story anyway. So.
Yeah, and they tried really hard. They were like, oh, any number of things could have gone wrong, and then all the summoners would have died, and then all this would have died. Luckily, we got it all right. I'm like, yeah, of course you got it. And you're going to get it right if you have to do it again, too. Like, there's never any danger here.
Yeah. Or you know, yeah, exactly, right. It's you know, it's just interesting. As I was reading it, I was like, it's funny that this is the one thing I remember, and it's this. I kind of forgot that it ended the Journal of Justice with all that shit.
Yeah, me too. I forgot that like, that was the very... I forgot the Journal of Justice was in any way like implicated with this whole conspiracy until reread.
Yeah. I kind of assumed it would just end, like they used to have an issue and then they would just stop having issues. And it's like, oh, we decided to stop doing the JOJ. Not like, oh, well, turns out it was a big old, you know, crazy spy network or some shit. Wild. Wild shit.
Super wild.
All right. Is that it for the past, Jarvan?
I think so. That's all I got for old stuff. All
right. So yeah. Let's go through some
cinematics first.
Okay. Sure. I bet he's in some stuff.
We'll start with the most important, Dominion.
Oh. Yes.
Where he is, he's in it. He's pretty heavily featured.
Can't keep
in
it
fact.
Down.
He fights Miss Fortune, almost kills her. He stabs right through Malphite, which they were probably excited to have a character that you could just stab through without there being blood. That was probably exciting for them. He and Swain get into a huge cataclysmic fight.
I'm giving the thumbs up.
Because of his ult.
Oh.
It's cataclysm. It's a fun joke. He uses it in the fight. Until he gets Cassio ulted and Lux has to rescue him. Unfortunately for Jarvan, this cinematic ends super anticlimactically for him, because while the rest of his team gets one of those like jump into the air action endings that Riot fucking loves to end all of their cinematics on, Jarvan's just standing on the ground capping a point, which is Dominion speak for capturing one of the goal points.
Jesus.
So he was just standing there with his hand in the air doing nothing.
He was
stop
capping
fighting.
Points.
Fucking cap the point. That's funny.
I wish I played more of Dominion.
Yeah. I had my
just
fill.
Just because I played so little of it. It's like
I feel
there
that.
Was so little of it to play.
I would love if they brought that back in Twisted Tree Line for like a little featured game mode. Just once, just to give everyone a little sampling of why no one
right.
plays it. Or played it.
We heard and we're listening.
Now he's also part of the Telstone's King's Gambit cinematic. In this cinematic, Jarvan is playing Telstones. He's also part of Rise, which is one of the world cinematics. In the final fight against Faker, Ambition is Jarvan IV and uses a surprise flag and drag to catch Faker out after his Rise teleport and leads Samsung Galaxy to the world championship. It's a pretty cool
solid.
Fight.
Yeah, this is almost essentially a Jarvan cinematic. It matches the character so well.
It was. Now, Jarvan is very popular in world cinematics. He was also in Road to the Cup, the 2013 world cinematics, which is where they had a bunch of pro players fighting to get to the top of the huge pillar where the Summoner's Cup was, all kind of as their favorite champion. And Jarvan IV is being played by Fnatic Cyanide. Now, finally, he's also part of TakeOver, the 2020 world cinematic, where there's like a nameless player fighting through a bunch of league champions played by pro teams that are referenced subtly accompanying the champions to make it to the championships. Jarvan IV is one of the only two champions in the video who we don't see just fucking destroy the player. As far as we can tell, he seems to catch a Jarvan spear out of thin air with his bare hands before it gets to him.
Hardcore, yeah. Man. Epic gamer hardcore. Moment.
Hardcore parkour.
All right, that's it for cinematics.
Time for those alternate universes.
Hop into some AUs. Actually, one of the AUs has a cinematic, but I'll cover it then.
That's okay.
Let's start with Pool Party. Set in a summer setting, each champion's equipped with summertime clothing. And this one is Pool Party Jarvan.
And he can fucking get it in this one.
Common thread for Pool Party skins.
Come on. Mm. Look at the way he's lounging. With that poro next to him.
He does have a poro. For Jarvan, there's nothing more relaxing than hanging out at the beach. No kingdoms to run, no thrones to sit on, save for his favorite beach chair. Just the sound of the waves and, if he listens closely, the faint whistle of a volleyball being spiked directly at him.
Okay, I never really looked at this skin very closely, and I didn't realize that to replicate his armor, he's wearing two big arm floaties. They're like inflatable arm floaties.
Oh, that's very nice.
Does that make it better or worse for you, in your opinion? Like, is that like, oh yeah, better. I love a man with a good float.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love. He's got safety.
First.
Yeah, safety in mind. I can't swim either, really, Jarvan. It's okay.
And for the record, that volleyball is being spiked by Syndra.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But we didn't even talk about a volleyball.
What? Yeah, I did.
No, yeah,
I did. Yeah. Did I block you out? I'm sorry. What did you say?
You were definitely looking at his... You were in the middle of telling us how hard he could get it when I was reading.
Oh, okay.
She's scoping the floats.
You were. I was really, really distracted by the floats. And Daddy Donger is right next to him in this.
I get it.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. What's the next one?
Commando.
He's naked.
No. this one is...
His skin's so goofy.
It is very goofy. This is Commando Jarvan. And the Commando skin line doesn't have its own, you know, universe blurb. So the one for the skin is, yes, those are guns strapped to Jarvan's arms and legs. No, he can't shoot them.
Oh, man. Give him a Bayonetta skin and have him shoot guns on his fucking feet. Do
oh,
it right.
Yeah.
Cowards. we also have Dragon World. Twice did dragon fire consume the world. Twice from the embers were heroes born. The dragons came in two waves. The first attack was led by Dragon Knight Mordekaiser and was repelled by Dragon Slayer Pantheon, who used the dragon scales from that kill to outfit other dragon slayers. And the second wave was led by Dragon Sorceress Zyra. And this one is Dragon Slayer Jarvan. All are accepted into the ranks of the Dragon Slayers, from the lowliest peasant to the mightiest king, for dragons would devour all equally. Jarvan the Fourth willingly gave up the throne to join his doomed countrymen and stand against the fury of monsters reborn.
Hmm.
This one feels a little rude. This is Shyvana friendship.
Yeah,
right? I was going to say this one almost feels like it could be... Like, he almost kind of sit in canon, because he is kind of a... I guess
yeah,
he didn't
he
slay
a dragon.
Dragon.
So is Shyvana.
Right? Yeah.
She's a half-dragon, so, you know.
Mm.
Now, we've got Warring Kingdoms, where rival empires vie for powers as they attempt to unify the lands, while brave warriors and stoic generals test their skill against the greatest heroes of the era. It is a time of war, and a time of legends. And this one is Warring Kingdoms Jarvan. A fabled warrior of peerless might, Jarvan the Fourth strides across the Warring Kingdoms, seeking only the worthiest opponents. All other careless enough to face him are crushed without mercy, the earth erupting beneath his immeasurable strength.
The Lubu skin?
Huh?
It was like, it was fashioned after Lubu.
Oh!
It was a,
general. Romance of the, Yeah, Romance of the Three Kingdoms stuff. You know, speaking about his ult, not really related to the skin stuff, but something I wish that they did kind of play with more is the fact that his ult causes a bunch of earth to pop up, and that seems very Ionian to me. And, like, I would love it if that was something that, like, Xinjia, like, taught him or something like that.
Oh,
kind of in
yeah.
line with, you know, using the earth and then the land and shit.
Be pretty neat.
That's just a little side thing. I was thinking about it. As you're talking about his the fiery shit popping up.
See, and next up we have Darkstar. In the vast darkness of space are born terrible, beautiful things, cosmic creatures of sublime love, and the unknowable monstrosities of the Darkstar. These are the children of silent gods, and they are finally coming home. This one is Darkstar Jarvan. A mortal emperor unbound by the destruction of his world, Jarvan's essence has since been reforged by the ageless energies of deep space. His humanity and his people now lost forever. He stands ready to welcome the Darkstar incursion in the final subjugation of all existence.
Whoa.
Edgy.
Cool. Yeah.
Now he's part of Lunar Beast. So this one is set in the year 2057, where champions are chosen by lunar gods to entertain lunar beasts to ensure a prosperous new year. So each year, a mischievous lunar beast arrives in the mortal realm, drawn to the New Year celebration. And each year, the corresponding lunar god selects a squad of chosen champions to lead the beast on a merry little chase to protect the city from the creature's playful rampage. The lunar parade is a beloved part of the New Year's festivities, and the lunar beast itself brings good luck once it has been lulled to rest by the squad's efforts. When a lunar beast is well entertained and well rested, it always signals a prosperous new year. So this one has a cinematic called Save the Celebration, where, you know, Annie accidentally gets candy juice on the magical gem that seems to power this town, and the beast eats the gem, getting big and powerful, and the heroes all fight it, but manage to defeat it without killing it, and retrieve the gem. which is it's a cute cinematic.
Yeah.
And Jarvan can be seen at the end taking selfies on his phone, which has a Wild Rift case on it.
I was going to ask if he was even in this one. Cute. Good shit, right?
Yeah, he's one of the crew. He does trap the monster in his cataclysm at one point.
Oh, he does. Okay. Yeah. I guess I kind of forgot about it. Maybe I need to rewatch this one then.
I will say the skin, had he not trapped the monster in his cataclysm, I would not have been able to recognize that it was Jarvan.
Mm, yeah. Like, he's got one of those faces, you know?
Yeah. Now, he is also part of the World Championship skin line, which, as we talked about last time, is the one where all of the descriptions just kind of sound like a fashion show announcer is reading.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Victorious Jarvan. Victorious Jarvan was awarded to players who reached gold or higher in the 2011 season. As the first Victorious skin ever released, Jarvan shines in silver armor with a flashy gold trim.
Man, it's so good. That is such a great... Oh, man.
He has super long hair in this skin. And I want to say about Jarvan, like, looking at all his skins, because I always do this when John goes through the AUs, he has a different face. In every, like, a completely different man face in every skin.
Yeah,
he never looks the same.
Like a very rough artistic design where they're like, hey, what should this guy look like? And they're like,
a white man,
white dude.
He has brown
vaguely
hair,
attractive maybe to some, and I don't know, maybe that's it. Go with it.
Yeah,
I feel like Jace is gonna be a lot like that, and I bet you it'll be really good to swap their faces and see if you can figure out who's supposed to be.
I used to want to, like, just crop every female champion just to her face and see if anybody could tell who any of them were, because they all have the same fucking face.
At least, like, Katarina's got, like, a scar.
Yeah, Katarina's got a scar. There's a few that would stand out, but, yeah.
But
anyway.
No, yeah.
Now he's also part of Hextech. Now at the forefront of science and art, Hextech has evolved from its rudimentary beginnings into a modern renaissance of intricate artificial life forms capable of free will. Skilled artificers lead the medium into a bold new future, but what it will bring, none can say. And this one is Hextech Jarvan. The Hextech Renaissance appealed not only to those with backgrounds in science, but also to those looking for an escape from their day-to-day lives. For the young Prince Jarvan, it presented the chance to enhance his martial skill with technology that would never have been accepted within his father's kingdom.
Is that like old lore, maybe?
It is pretty older looking. I feel like I'm looking like at a set of octuplets, you know, like they're all brothers. But they're not the same dude.
They're not quite. Funny shit.
And now the final AU is Odyssey. From the heavily urbanized core worlds to the outermost edge of the galaxy, adventure awaits! The great Damaxian Empire has laid claim to almost every inhabited system, ignoring the objections of the ancient Templar Order and the criminal syndicate alike, in pursuit of the wondrous bounty of Aura, this mysterious golden essence drawn from the vast majestic creatures that patrol the stars, is the lifeblood of all civilization, but also promises untold power to those who can wield it for themselves. Now, a few important things to note about this AU. One, Jarvan does not have a skin for it.
Oh my god, I was scrolling up and down like 9 times. I was like, am I fucking high right now?
In the lore, he is the king of the Damaxian Empire, whose homeworld was destroyed long ago. And Odyssey Kane is an ordinal, which in this world is one of the highest ranking military leaders in the intergalactic Damaxian Empire. And Jarvan is said to
Damaxian?
It's different than Damaxian.
Yeah. It's like Damaxian and Noxian different. Almost, right?
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. Yeah. Like when they finally merge, that's what they'll be called. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he seems to send... Kane kind of seems like his guy that he sends to do his dirty work so he can keep his hands clean.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm learning, Riot, is that people can be a part of an AU without having skins attached to them. Not that I'm thinking of anything in particular.
It's in the works. It's coming down the pipe. The VFX aren't right.
Another interesting thing about this skin line is I remember when I first saw the Odyssey trailer, I was like, oh, neat. It's like a Guardian of the Galaxy skin line. Well, apparently, The short story for this, The Lore, was written by Dan Abnett, who writes for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
Damn, that's weird.
Huh. I wonder if he did all those. Maybe that'd be interesting. Because that's the first Odyssey skin we've had, right? Is that right?
I think there are two waves of Odyssey skins. They have the original crew and then like the backup crew, basically.
Mm. The B team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now here's some fun facts for our boy, Jarvan the Fourth.
Hit me with him.
He is voiced by Kyle Hebert, who also did Graves, and in a surprise twist, pre-visual update, Ezreal.
Oh.
Yeah, right? That's wild.
Huh.
Yeah, we were watching a video today where we found out that like the Morgana voice actress also did Zoe, and I was like, that is also like a departure. It is unexpected. Yeah.
That is strange. Voice actors are incredible.
Tell you what.
Jarvan's release was technically leaked a month early due to an artist who did Maokai's art spotlight having tabs open with several champions open, including the unreleased Jarvan the Fourth and an unreleased Katarina skin that they were working on.
Dope.
Classic.
Fuck yeah. I love it.
The terrain created by Cataclysm is made of 24 minions to make sure that no one can squeeze through the wall.
So if they ever got rid of like the minion collision, they'd have to fix that.
Like, League is made of minions. It's literally, it's minions all the way down.
Does that mean Janna can walk through it? Can she pass through minions?
I am curious how something like the ghost, like ghost blade interactions or shit like that,
mm-hmm.
probably doesn't work.
So no,
probably would have fixed that.
They fixed that. If Janna could just waltz through.
Jarvan's spear is named Drakebane and was crafted by Orlan, who also crafted Poppy's hammer.
Mm.
Oh, dope. He didn't do Galio. Who was Galio's guy?
That was
who's
Doran,
Galio's
right?
maker? Yeah,
that
yeah.
Was Adorin?
Okay, sorry. There's too many
Adorin?
Like Demacian crafters.
Blade fame?
Yeah.
I think so,
you
yeah.
You may recognize me from my
from
blade
my work.
And my ring and my shield.
Yes, most of you buy one of me when you start the game.
Jarvan's great-grandfather, Jarvan the First, was killed by Sion.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about my other two fun facts, but yeah, his Warring Kingdom skin is a direct reference to the Eastern Han general, Liu Bu.
Hmm.
And Jarvan was arranged to marry Lux, but she never showed up. Wop, wop, wow.
Sad fucking Jarvan. He's had a rough life.
Mostly the Lux thing.
That was really what did it.
All right. Any more Jarvan thoughts?
I got one little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Do you remember, John, do you remember at the old Riot office, they had a PC Gamer article where they, like, this was like the one of the first times League got like a big, like, oh, it's a spot in PC Gamer. They got like the cover, I think.
Yeah.
And that was when one of the first times they teased Jarvan, and they have that on the wiki. Someone got the actual text from it. And all I love was this. So Jarvan, who was at the time being touted as a champion type initiator support DPS, whatever the fuck that means. but this little smack about him was like, Jarvan is the Demacian badass your mama warned you about. If champions look up to Garen for his righteous epicness, then Jarvan the Fourth is the one Garen looks up to.
Oh,
fuck
man.
Yeah, dog.
You liked Garen. We have Garen on fucking speed.
You're gonna love Garen 2.0. His righteous epicness. Yeah. I just love that little
righteous
bit.
Righteous epicness. Fucking good.
Yeah.
Really aged itself a little bit.
Yeah. Bit.
I think there's another bit where it says, right, where they say, like, we want everything he does to feel epic. It's like, awesome. Fuck yeah.
My favorite thing is when you hit his W and he just gets that little shield kind of thing.
Little shield.
Epic.
Yeah. It's wild reading that, too, around, like, the way his E was, like, potentially gonna work. Like, it's supposed to, like, they had this cool idea of it impaling enemies and, like, oh, and you could destroy it as, like, the enemy team. Like, all this shit that, you know, it doesn't do now. Now it's like, oh, we got This was old League. They couldn't do any of that crap, right? But
they had aspirations.
I guess a lot of Jarvan's kit probably felt really like exciting. I think about that sometimes, like a champion who was first to do something. Like the flag and drag was probably a really big deal.
Way his R was described, especially like in the spotlight at the time, blew my mind as someone who was like new to League and didn't know a whole lot about the game. I was like, wait, he can just trap you in this arena and you have to 1v1 him? What the fuck? And like, you know, looking at it now, like, no, not really. He put some terrain around and anyone outside the terrain can hit you and you can just roll out of it if you want. And now we have champions that literally actually trap you inside, like Mordekaiser like you know, Camille, but like Camille. At the time the shit was crazy.
I remember having that exact same feeling too, of like, oh my god, he locks you, like you said, he locks you in this duel, holy shit. And now we're just like,
they made
whatever.
It sound way cooler.
Baby League players.
Hey man, you know, they shot for the moon and they landed amongst the starving. No
sorry, do you want me to cut that? I'm keeping it in, don't worry about
please.
It
That's okay. I'm done. That was all.
All right. How about you, honey? Any thoughts about Jarvan? I know you have lots of thoughts.
I have so many thoughts.
There is one other thing that I do need to point out. So Jarvan has Legends of Runeterra cards. He has a couple of cards around him, including Jarvan the Third has a card. But the thing that's wild about this is that all of the lore that seems to be around him in Runeterra is not canon. It's like an alternate like timeline where instead of him getting lost going down to, you know, fight and whatever, it's like he got kind of set up in a trap by LeBlanc, and so there's all this weird shit happening. And there's like a card, there's like Cytherea from the Garen novella has a card where it's like an alternate future if she became like a leader of those like Silverwing riders, the raptors or whatever. So it's fucking weird. There's all this flavor and shit that is not canon, and writers have tweets saying, oh yeah, this is just us exploring this other storyline, but I wish they wouldn't do that. That's all I'll say is please don't do that. Makes it fucking confusing.
Oh man.
But yeah, just like a big warning if you're trying to learn the lore through Runeterra is that like that kind of crap is apparently in the mix. That's it.
Because it was so easy to follow the lore otherwise.
Yeah, right.
All right, I think that's it. We finished Jarvan the Fourth. Yay. We post these on YouTube if you ever want to chat there. And also, because this video doesn't have enough views, John wrote a parody song about Dr. Mundo, and it's called The Mundo of My Memories, and it's very delightful. It's just us mourning old Mundo. I don't know, I was thinking about it, honey, because you were singing another parody song and I'm like, John, you should just write more of those. But anyway, there's one of those on our YouTube page.
I sing it to myself, it runs through my head sometimes, legit, like I'll just be doing other shit. It's like but yeah, I highly really recommend it.
Yes. We also have a Twitter, we're at Loreheads.
I just want to, as a call out, if you're a singer and you want to do a cover of that so that it sounds good, that'd be
honey.
Cool.
Don't say that. You're a lovely singer.
Indeed.
And that's all. So join us next week. I'm pretty excited, actually. We're going to be talking about Grandmaster at Arms, Jax.